Hello and welcome to the Building Better Leaders podcast, brought to you by Scaffold Coaching. I'm Rachel Sullivan.
And I'm John Tattersall.
Welcome to Building Better Leaders. Last time out, this was Leadership 101, where we discussed the difference between leadership and management, what leadership is and what it isn't, and we also looked at what was directive and non-directive. And we left you with a few coaching questions that you might want to ask yourself around how and whereabouts are you in terms of the actual directive, non-directive style. So be interested to know how you got on with those. If you'd like to let us know, we'd love to hear from you. This week we're looking at four different leadership styles. So this is very much about where we find ourselves in different situations in our role, different decisions that we might have to make. It's where we find ourselves when we're being led by somebody else. So we're the follower. What kind of style do we prefer? Which one do we react to best under which set of circumstances?
John, what I love about this topic is that when we talk about the difference between leadership and management, leaders, and when you think about it, when you've had a really good leader, leaders change their leadership style to match what the follower needs. Whereas managers tend to treat everybody the same way. And good managers tend to have a very set style of operating, and they choose people to work on their team that fit their style really well. And I think this is one of the big learnings I kind of learned and came across in my leadership journey, was that I started by thinking that you should treat everybody the same, and that a good manager or a good leader treated everybody the same, and you hired people based on how you like to operate, because that's what led to a really good and well-functioning team. You learn that that works to a certain place and in certain teams, but when you get to a certain level, you need a way more diverse set of skills and capabilities on a team. And then you start to see that really good leaders change their approach to where their follower is. So what I love about these four leadership styles is it gives you a language and words to explain what great leadership should be.
Yeah, it's a really interesting distinction, that, because when I was listening to you talking there, I was thinking, yeah, from a manager's point of view, the onus is on the people that they're managing to adapt to that manager's style, rather than flipping it the other way, which is much more leadership.
Think back to when you worked in the bank, or I think of this particular leader I had, that you all knew he liked to deck in a certain way, and that he liked certain words to be used, and that he liked things to be done in a certain time. And I would say, working for that person, about 50% of my working energy was spent on how I crafted things for him to say yes to versus me doing phenomenal work. Do you know what I mean? Versus another great leader that I had, who she just loved having great conversations and throwing ideas around, and she got more of the best of me because she didn't really care how it was presented. It wasn't about me in her style. It was about doing great work.
This is probably a subject for another podcast, Rachel, though, but what we ought to make note of this. How do you deal with the manager whose style you seem to have to be adapting to? We'll come back and we'll revisit that another day.
Absolutely. On to the four leadership styles then, John.
The model we're going to use here is the Hersey and Blanchard model for leadership styles, which are four quadrants, starting with a directive style. So a directive style requires a lot of specific guidance to complete a task. You might find that you use this with people who are new to the organisation or have got a new role and have very little information about where they should be. It's based on very little experience for the person that's actually following your lead. We then move on to the coaching style. This requires for us to give a little bit more than average guidance. So the likelihood is that the person that you're leading here has got some information about the role. They may have some ideas, they may have done it for a while, but they're still requiring a little bit more guidance. So your role here as the leader is to be available to give that specific kind of guidance when it's needed, rather than just be completely directive, which is the style that we've just talked about in terms of directing.
Yeah, I think the difference between directive leadership style versus a coaching directive style, they're both giving direction and directive instruction, but the coaching has been more supportive. So rather than just telling somebody what to do, which is what you're doing in directive, the coaching style is being more supportive by asking, seeking feedback, introducing that more collaborative approach to... You're basically trying to build an individual's autonomy by coaching them versus directing them.
So that's directing and that's coaching. Moving through the quadrant then, we are now looking at supporting. So this is a much more, it's a lower level of directive behaviour and a much higher level of supporting behaviour. So this is when people have the skills to complete the actual work, but they may lack a little bit of confidence in delivering that. And so your role there is just to actually remind them that they are capable of doing the work, and also to be there just in case they actually need that little bit of support from you as their leader.
Yeah, I think just to put it in more practical context, when you're in a supportive leadership role with somebody, their capability and skill base is there. They know how to do the job, but they may have been scarred by a more directive leader that's kind of knocked down some of that confidence. There may have been a big organisational change or a restructure. Something like COVID might have happened, that there's external factors going on that's just really knocked the confidence and all of a sudden they're doubting themselves. Or like some of the women that we coach, and men, somebody may be suffering something like imposter syndrome, where they have all the skills and tools within them, they just don't know how to communicate and express them and influence people to get it along. So your role is more on the how they communicate and influence others and go about the work, rather than the actual capability itself.
Yeah, you make a good point there, Rachel, because in explaining this particular model of four different styles, I think what's helpful for you to think about is how ready the follower is in each of these particular styles. And I think you bring a good point there. Somebody who needs support, maybe somebody who doesn't really prefer to make those autonomous decisions themselves, but actually with a bit of encouragement and your support, they'll feel more comfortable doing that. They'll feel as if they've got more confidence as a result.
Yeah, and actually, I think about, I'm chuckling because I remember this a lot in my career, in that when they do make decisions and when they are asked their opinion, it's usually bob on, because they know they are skillful.
Yeah, they knew it was right.
They knew it was right. Yeah. They haven't got the confidence to, you know, versus a lot of people that are very cocky and arrogant and willing to make decisions, but they haven't got the skill set there. So it's about where the follower's readiness is. So what's the final one, John?
So when we think about followers, then the final one is where the follower is able, they're willing and they're confident. You just know that that person can deliver on this particular aspect of the task, the decision that they're making, the problem that they're actually solving. And this is the one that we call delegating. You're quite happy just to pass everything over to this person because you absolutely know that they're going to be able to deliver on it.
Yeah, so just to summarise, the four leadership styles are directing, coaching, supporting and delegating. And what we're really trying to get across here is that a really great leader adopts their leadership styles to where anybody on their team is. So if we put this in a real life situation context, you might have quite a varied team, or where you've got a couple of graduates or quite new people to the role. Now, they will likely need a directive and directing leadership style. So in that instance, it's absolutely okay to give them clear instruction at the beginning of the week, to tell them what to do, to have regular check-ins. If it's a very important project, it might be daily. You certainly, in that kind of level, would be having weekly check-ins with those individuals. And you are, as a leader, focusing on giving them directive instruction and also being very supportive in terms of, you know, like kind of what low support in terms of growing their confidence and stuff, but more about working out where they're going to go next.
So the coaching element in the second style is you may well have just recruited somebody who has performed this role somewhere else before, maybe at a competitor's or a very similar kind of role. And your ability as a leader is all around coaching this new starter at your organization in the way that the company operates. So it might be the ethos that it has, it might be the purpose that it has. It's all about how the culture of your organization runs. You're the leader, you're the person that they look to as a follower.
Yeah, just on that, it's very much around teaching them the way that things get done in that organisation. It'll be quite quick, but there is an aspect of telling, isn't there? It's like, oh, this is how we get that process done here, because it will have been different in the previous organisation.
Yeah, it is. And I think you raise a really good point there, because one of the things that you need to be open to as a leader in this particular facet of leading is that you might be able to learn something from this person in where they've come from. Because your point of view is all around your organisation. A good coach often learns as much from the experience as does the person who's being coached.
Yeah, and what we find on that is when you're leading somebody that needs a coaching style of leadership, they can quite quickly move into the supportive, which is the third style of leadership. So this is where they've learned the how to do the do, but you still want to keep that open dialogue where you're learning from them. They're perhaps just needing at this level in the supportive leadership style, just to borrow on your example, John, is where they'll learn very quickly how to do the do, but what they may need is a little bit more support on how the organisation works, how certain people like to work. They may need some confidence and support on how to approach more senior leaders or difficult stakeholder groups or a challenging new problem in the organisation. So you can quite quickly move from coaching to supportive. Supportive leadership style is also more around internal behaviour. So what are the confidence issues like we mentioned before for that individual who's your follower? And how can you just kind of get them to a stage where you can fundamentally adopt a delegating style of leadership with them?
Yeah, so that is the final leadership style. We've looked at directing, we've looked at coaching, and Rachel's just covered supporting. Delegating is when you absolutely know that you're totally confident in allowing somebody the full remit of their role. You know that they will deliver. They've done it before. They've proved it before. They bring other people with them as well, which allows you to concentrate on other aspects of your own role and other people. You're very, very confident that in any given situation, somebody will be able to deal with it.
Yeah. In essence, delegating is at its purest form non-directive leadership. And what's really lovely about it is it's when leadership becomes a shared space. So it may even be that you're the leader of the team, but you share an aspect of leadership with somebody that you have a delegating relationship with. And that could even be a situation where you're leading a team, but you've got somebody on your team who has more experience than you, that's more capable of running other projects than you. They just don't want to be in that leadership role.
Yeah, and I think the one final thing to say about that particular style is not to forget, as the leader of somebody who is delegating, is to remind people that they are good at doing this and not just take it for granted.
You don't just leave them by themselves.
Just don't leave them, because they are your real true warriors, and they do need reminding of that. So, those are your four leadership styles.
So So to move now onto the coaching approach, what are some of the questions that you can be asking yourself, that you can be reflecting on as a leader to use these four leadership styles in your role? So I think the first exercise to think about is not about your leadership style, but to think about your leader and your relationship with your leader. And what leadership style does your leader use on you? And where is your follower readiness? So leadership gets more difficult at each rung up the ladder. It changes, it oscillates, we can move up and down. But just to reflect on that is, where are you? What kind of leadership style do you respond best to? Which do you respond best to, and which does your leader currently use? And when you've reflected on that, you might want to think about that information and having a conversation around that with your leader around what you respond best to and what you need from them, and see where that conversation goes. That's a really nice jump, John, because at the beginning of the podcast, you said, let's have that conversation on another podcast. But I actually do think we could share some tips now. Yeah. So invariably, at some point, your boss, your leader will say, is there anything else you need, or how's it going? Whether or not they're really interested in the answer or not is another question. But asking that question nonetheless is an opportunity for you to open up this conversation and give your boss some feedback on what you need. Now, a really nice way to do this, and I'm a big fan of this, is a lot of bosses don't get praised. So I'd actually always say, you know, actually, I've really enjoyed this one-to-one with you,
leader. Because they're giving you this opportunity, aren't they, to do that, I guess.
Yeah.
Not in a sucking it up kind of way.
Yeah, exactly. But what you could do is use that way in to share what you need. And you don't have to explain these quadrants or these leadership styles with your boss. That would probably be a bit weird. But you could kind of say, you know, oh, I liked it when you were coaching me on that or giving me those ideas. But actually what I responded best to is when you left me to go and solve that problem myself and then checked in with me to see if it was okay. You did that. I really felt like I learned when you did that. But when yesterday that problem arose, you just told me what to do straight away. And I felt like we'd gone backwards. And you're just gently giving your leader some feedback on how you respond. And I would, you know, really encourage you to have that open conversation with them and say, actually, I'd like to move to a more delegating relationship with you where we just check in every couple of weeks. I'll come to you if I've got a problem. But if you could just leave me to run with this, if you're comfortable with that, I would be comfortable with that. And you're just opening that conversation.
Yeah, and be honest and say, oh, are there any concerns that you would have about us dealing with this particular problem in my role in that way? Is there anything that I should be on the lookout for? It's about maintaining this idea that you're going to check in with yourself all the time. Am I being really, really certain, or am I being curious? And it works both ways. It works both for yourself and it works for you as the leader as well.
Yeah. The only caveat I would add on that is if you are going to have those conversations, you have to put yourself in a position where you are willing to take on board feedback. So self-awareness is key to this, but sometimes we don't know what we don't know, or we don't know the feedback. So you may think you're in a place to move from coaching, that your leader's currently coaching you and you'd like to move to more supporting or delegating. Now, you might not realise that you've still got a lot to learn and your leader doesn't feel like you're quite ready for that, either some of the behaviours you demonstrate in or some of your capabilities not up to scratch. Now, in that instance, you just have to stay in a space that if you do get some feedback that's not aligned to what you thought would happen or where you are, you have to stay in a space where you don't jump to be defensive for that and use that as another way in to say, okay, well, I didn't know that, but I'm really pleased you shared with that with me. How how come you've not shared that with me before? And how can I improve? Or what else could I do? Or what would that look like to you if I were to adopt that behaviour? And then you're learning again.
I think that's a really important caveat. It's the mindset you bring to asking that question. You know, don't ask it if you feel like you're in a ultra defensive mood when you do it, because it's, you know, you're never going to receive it in the way that probably your boss thinks that you will. He doesn't know whether you're in a defensive mood or not, and often we are. So I think that's a really important caveat.
Yeah. So once you've done that and thought about yourself and your relationship with the boss, the other thing that we would ask you to think about in a coaching conversation and in this coaching approach is, where are your team? And what I really love about this very simple quadrant of four leadership styles is, if you've got a team of eight people that you manage, just actually, have you ever thought about how are each of those different as followers, and what might they need from me that's different to other people in the team in terms of my leadership style? You may have thought about that before, but you may not have had the language to explain it. And what I love about language and terms like directive, coaching, supportive, and delegating is it gives you a label to make sense of what action you need to take. So I'd literally grab yourself a piece of paper, draw four quadrants: directing, coaching, supporting, and delegating. And then label where you think each person is in your team, and then think about, where do I need them to be, or where would I like them to be in 6 months' time, and how do you need to change your style to meet that follower or team member where they are, and then in service of their development, and have that conversation with those individuals in your one-to-one.
Yeah, that's important and really, really useful. And you can go to another granular level, because you can start thinking about each of those individuals in their team. And you talked about development there, Rachel. If you're going to develop these people, what is it about their role that means that you can be a little bit more delegating, or it means that you can be a little bit more supporting? Or where, on conversely, do they need you to be a little bit more directing or a little bit more coaching? That really, really helps, I think, deliver your appraisal for each of those people in your team. And I think you'll find that they'll be really, really receptive of that approach. It allows them a lot more autonomy. People like autonomy. And I think you'll find that really useful.
I really like that, John, especially because nobody's all of one thing. There'll be some areas where they could be left to be delegated to, but they may need a slight bit of coaching on one aspect. So that gives you a nice place to manoeuvre. The one reason, if no other, then this is a valuable exercise to do, is if you've got a lot of people in your team that require delegating or coaching styles of leadership, it can be quite an exhausting place to be as a leader. It's very time consuming, and it's emotionally draining over the long term. So if you have a plan to make sure that you've got a different variety across your team, your role will be more rewarding and your time and effort will be better spent in service of the job you need to do. And don't forget that if you've got some people in your team that are very comfortable in that delegating space, they can direct to the more junior people in the team. Leadership can be shared within your team.
Excellent coaching, Rachel. Oh. See you again.
We'll see you again. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you so much for listening to the Building Better Leaders podcast. We hope you've got a lot out of this. If you'd like to read up a bit more on any of the content that you've heard in today's podcast, be sure to check out our website, scaffoldcoaching.com.